I have a verse of Scripture I'd like to read, a passage of Scripture. It's found in Psalms 107. I've read it many times before, but as I was reading it today, something stood out in my mind, and I hope I can get it across tonight. I believe inside of the heart of every true born-again child of God that there is a something there that is drawing you and pulling you to do something to please God, to reach out to others, to obey God, as He has said through Jesus Christ, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And He has commissioned us to do certain things. Now, there are some people who believe that that was only to those people who followed Jesus and not for us today. And there are those who refuse to reach out for the lost and to try to win others to the church because they say we're satisfied with what we've got and we don't need to try to get more because it'll just add confusion and problems to our good church. But it's God's will that every person on the face of this earth be reached with a gospel of good news and peace and deliverance. And my subject tonight is the cry of a desperate heart. And I'd like you to consider something in the Word of God that I feel on my heart tonight. Psalms 107 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Because they rebelled against the words of God, He contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." On and on this song goes, this psalm written in our Bible. It's something that has been chanted and sung through years and years by God's people. It has been read in the pulpit over and over and over. And this is a reminder, Brother E.J. was reminding his family of what God has already done. When they were having problems, when there was things that they needed in their lives. He said, remember how we talked to the Lord about it and how He delivered us, how He worked out a way. He made a way for our situation. And this is exactly what this psalm is doing, speaking to us down through the ages about people who go forth and they get into trouble. They have problems. And then they cry unto the Lord, and He hears their cry, and then something seems to come out of the Scripture from another heart that says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. All through growing up in Sunday school classes many times, they'd say, do you have a memory selection today? And my memory selection was, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I quoted that verse of Scripture because I had it thoroughly memorized from the time I was a very small boy. And every time we had Sunday school class and the children lined up against the wall, and everybody was to quote their favorite passage of Scripture, mine was, Jesus wept. And I stood there proud of myself because I always knew that one by memory. Not really realizing the full significance of the cry of this lonely heart, of this heart of compassion, this heart of love, this heart that loved all of humanity so much that at one time, even in the city where he was, he looked across his city and he cried, oh, Jerusalem, with tears streaming down his face, oh, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but ye would not. How Jesus cried, how he wept at the tomb of Lazarus when it seemed to those standing by that he was so sad because he had lost such a good friend. But as we know the story of Lazarus well, Jesus hadn't lost Lazarus. He stood there and wept, and there was a much deeper, hidden feeling causing those tears than what most people realized at that time and even until now. And that was the lack of understanding. That was the carnal nature of mankind that God had made. That was the lack of knowledge on the part of humanity. When Jesus would speak, His words seemingly just bounced on past their ears. Some of them would hear, but they wouldn't take it into their hearts. Some of them would listen, and then they'd go their way and say, but I don't believe what He says. Some of them would, after hearing His word, would turn around and say He's not who He claims to be, and even made false accusations, and in their heart already had Him crucified long before He was ever nailed to a tree. And there before the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. But I believe He cried not only for that man, but for every person on the face of the earth that did not hear His voice and did not understand that He is the resurrection and He is the life. On another occasion, Jesus wept in a garden, and He cried as if it were great drops of blood coming forth from His eyes. His sweat on His forehead and the tears in His eyes. He cried. Have you ever seen a man cry? I mean, really cry from some situation that has him so upset that it seems like everything else in the world is unimportant. It seems like that all of the problems that has been surrounding the person, suddenly they're not even considered because there's something that far outweighs everything that has been discussed and everything that people have been concerned about. Have you ever seen people have situations in their life where a husband falls on his face and he starts shaking and crying? And from somewhere deep inside, there's that cry of a desperate heart. Have you ever seen a family that is falling apart? And maybe a mother somewhere whose children have gone astray. A few days ago, she might have been concerned about whether or not there was enough money in the house to buy groceries for the week. A few days ago, she might have been all disturbed and upset over the fact that maybe some of the neighbors were not treating her like she thought they should. But now,
all of that is somehow hidden away. And there's that cry of a desperate heart. Oh, how are we going to solve this problem? And I've seen people in situations in life, in times of sickness, in times of death, in times of family problems, come to a place where the only thing that seemingly was on their heart was the grief and the heartbreaking pain of the problem that faced them at that very moment. I've been there myself. But as we consider Jesus, His problem was more than just a man lying in a tomb who needed to be resurrected from the grave. His problem was more than just a city that would not listen to His voice, even though He had performed miracles before their eyes. His problem was more than just a cross where there would be nails in His hands and in His feet, and where His side would be pierced and blood and water would come forth. But it reached throughout all of His creation. How that He loved man. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His mercy and for His goodness. And I believe when Jesus hung on that cross and He bowed His head to die, and He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I believe if you could sit there and see the face of Jesus, you'd have seen tears streaming down His face. And there would have been that cry of an agonizing, heartbroken Savior crying out to this whole world that He had made and all the people that He loved. He loved them so much, He was willing to suffer. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's not recorded in the Scriptures, but I wonder how many times Jesus has looked around this earth in our day and has said, "Oh, people everywhere. Oh, people everywhere. How oft would I gather you together if you would just hear my voice. If you would just listen to what I'm trying to say. But you would not. You would not." And I'm speaking tonight on this subject, the cry of a desperate heart. All through this 107th Psalm, we hear about people who became fools because of transgressions, because of iniquities. They are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word, and He healed them, delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of their trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Have you ever noticed how some people can't get desperate and can't really get sincere and cannot get serious about God until they've got trouble? You cannot talk to some people about the Lord until they are at their wit's end. I mean, this is a serious situation. We got problems now. We got things going wrong now. True. We haven't gone to church, and we haven't supported the work of God, and we haven't been faithful, and we haven't prayed in years. But now we've got problems, and we're ready to hear the word of the Lord. Can you imagine the cry of a Savior somewhere that has watched their life as they have grown and gone to school and have gone to the job and have raised families, leaving God out of their life? And then, in the midst of their problems, They cry. They finally cry to the Lord in their trouble. And He bringeth them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land to barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into standing water and dry ground into water springs. There He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant the vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Millions of people in this world that we don't even know about, even billions. It wasn't like that in Jesus' time. There were not billions then like there are now. Man has multiplied. Millions of hungry, thirsty, crying hearts are desperate to know what we know. And Jesus hung on that cross after having agonized in the garden, after having tried to get His point across to those that came in contact with Him. In everyday life, there was the leper who said, Lord, in a moment of desperation, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And right in front of everybody, Jesus said, I will, be Thou clean. In the midst of that desperate cry, when he cried out to Jesus, Jesus supplied the need of that man. It looks like everybody around would have wanted to follow him with all of their hearts and to serve him continually and to praise his name and to seek his face day and night. For they saw what he had done for the man. They saw how he had brought up this lonely, desperate heart from his affliction. And made him to be able to go back to his friends, to be with his family. But only a few went on and followed Jesus. And then in the midst of all the confusion, in the midst of all the noise in the city, in the midst of all the traffic, one by one people came to him with needs, desperate needs. And in a moment of desperation, they would cry out, Oh Jesus, Son of David! Have mercy on me. Jesus would say, what would you have me to do? Oh, that I could see. And he would touch the blind man and the blind man could see. And how the blind man would rejoice. And how the people would marvel and they were amazed at the power of this Jesus. But only a few would go on and follow him. Only a few would praise him. Only a few would say, thank you, Lord. He healed 10 lepers, and only one of them came back to give him thanks. In the midst of a crowd, while he was trying to bring forth the Word of God to an assembled congregation of desperate hearts, wanting to see something new, wanting to have a little more hope in this lost, darkened world, hoping that maybe there would be some supernatural sign that they would receive some supernatural power through this unusual man. Here comes a man sick on his bed. They let him down through the housetop. And there at the feet of Jesus, Jesus says, Thy sins be forgiven thee. And the people started murmuring. And many of them said, He can't do that. And some of them said, He claims to be God and He can't be God. Only God can forgive sins. There in the midst of all the confusion, Jesus spoke to the man and his problems, and he saw the need of that desperate heart. And I believe if we could have stood there and watched, probably there would have been tears streaming down the face of the man who was sick with the palsy. Because Jesus, all through His Word, is always concerned about tears. He's always concerned about the crying heart. All through the Word of God, even back in the Old Testament, there's Scripture after Scripture about people crying and weeping and letting the tears stream down their face, letting the tears fall on the ground, crying out to God. And here in the midst of all the uproar and all the confusion and people not understanding Jesus, Jesus says to the sick man, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." He was concerned about the affliction of that man. And if we could only accept God's long-suffering and God's patience and God's kindness, the feeling that Jesus had toward the man who was sick with that dreadful disease, He has that same compassion and love toward every one of us. No matter how much this world is turning and spinning around us, no matter how confusing life becomes, in the midst of all of the doubt, in the midst of all of the wonder, if somebody will have faith enough to come before Jesus and take Him at His Word with a desperate heart, with a desperate heart, cry out to the Lord. The prophet said, "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Hallelujah, hallelujah. He loves humanity. If it hadn't been for people, there would have been no need for the cross. If it hadn't been for individuals like you and me, there would have been no need for the stripes upon His back. There would have been no need for the crown of thorns upon His head. There would have been no kind of need for any of the ridicule and the mockery and the scorning. There would have not been that feeling of helplessness that surrounded all of those folks that had followed Him. And now they didn't know what to do, so they went and hid themselves in the shadows while the angry mob came against Him and accused Him and pointed their fingers of accusation at Him. And there He hung, bleeding and dying, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He wasn't just talking to that angry mob. But I believe those words are still ringing around this world today. They know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. But I love them still. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His mercy and for His goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Wounded in the house of His friends, by His stripes we are healed. Because of the blood that was spilled, we are cleansed. He has borne all of our iniquity. He was bruised for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. It seems to be the cry of a Savior's bleeding heart tonight. Around this world, as we read in this psalm, all the things that people get themselves into, all the sicknesses, all the distresses, many times simply because they chose not to follow Jesus, but chose to go their own way instead. And they get themselves into a mess. People get in trouble. Things happen. And they finally just don't know which way to turn. And they're at their wit's end. Then they cry to the Lord. And He delivers them. Hallelujah. I sat and listened to a man recently, and my heart went out to him. I had been with this man, and I'm not criticizing him in any way. And I would say this if he were sitting on these pews, which he may be real soon, because he made a vow to God this week that he would be. But I heard him say, "If God will heal my child," tears streaming down his face, he said, "I'll serve Him the rest of my life. He said, I'll be in church every time the church doors open. And he was serious. He was crying, and it was a desperate heart that was crying. And I believe God saw those tears. Because the report came, the baby is no longer afflicted with this problem that it had. The baby no longer has this problem, nor this problem. And let's try this and see if there's something else wrong. Gradually, the child improved. Then a few nights ago, and I don't blame the man, and I don't say this was the reason, but I'm just saying what happened. I saw the same man, tears streaming down his face. He said, when it looked like the baby was going to be all right, it dawned on me that I was not going to church. I was not serving the Lord. I was not doing what I told God that I would do. And that's the case in many situations in our lives. And then things go wrong again and we fall on our face. And we say, God, if you'll deliver me out of this situation, if you'll deliver me from this distress, from now on, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. And many times we desperately cry out to God. And then we give Him the praise and the honor and the glory. We even speak in tongues and we clap our hands and we jump and shout and we run and we say, praise God, I was bound and now I'm free. And He delivers us. And oftentimes we find ourselves entering back into a valley, not being led there by the hand of God, but simply not praying as often as we should, not reading His Word and taking heed to it as we know we should. And we simply walk our own way after finding the deliverance that we sought God for with bitter tears. And we find ourselves once again having a need for the one that can calm the storms to come again and say to the wind, be still, and to say to the waves, be still, and to say to our lives, be still, and know that I am God. It seems like a circle. Around and around we go. Every day is a new episode. Every day is a new adventure. But still, God remains the same. Hallelujah. I just love His Word. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. People stumble and fall flat on their face. And right in the midst of the confusion, they say, oh God, help me! And He says, I am here. I'll help you. Hallelujah. A man said years ago, on his face, crying with tears at the bedside of his mother, who had just passed away, he said, God, and he was shaking and quaking, and he didn't care what those around him thought. Tears all over his face. His eyes were red. His lips were quivering. Desperately crying. God, don't let her die now. Give me my mama back if you'll let her live. And already she was lying there and she was not breathing. The heart had stopped. She was stiff, and her hands were folded. And they had just placed a sheet over her head. He said, if you will let her live, I'll serve you. And immediately that sheet flew off of that bed. And that mother jumped out of the bed on the floor and started shouting. And he had never served God a day in his life. He was a rough sinner. He used bad language. He smoked. And he hung around with rough friends. But at this moment of desperation, after not having attended church regularly, after having not been faithful, he finally called on God. And when he did, God saw those tears. God always knows the tears of a desperate heart. He always understands a crying man's problems. He knows our needs even before we ask Him. He knows what it's like to be desperate. He knows what it's like to cry. He knows what it's like to pour his heart out and just to weep. Because he's done it himself. And he heard the cry of that man, and he delivered him and gave him his mother. And she prepared a meal for all the people that had come together and gathered in that community because she had died. And they all partook of the meal. And she was with the family feeling good. And then the next day, she passed away again. But I look back and I remember the story. You say, well, that just sounds like make-believe. I don't believe it. Well, I do believe it. It's been something that my grandfather and my grandmother and my dad and my mom and my kin folks have held on to through the years. How that God heard that sinner man's prayer, gave him the desire of his heart, even though it seemingly was the will of God to take that 80-year-old woman on into heaven. But yet, when a sinner man called on God with sincerity and with tears, desperately called on God, Jesus even raised the dead. But you know, that man never did serve God. Never did serve God. And that's the sad part about humanity. We say a lot of things that we will do in a time of crisis. We make up our mind a lot of times, from now on, it's going to be this way. And from now on, I'm going to do better. But from now on, it seems many times we get ourselves in trouble again simply because we neglect to follow Jesus with all of our hearts. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. I hear what you're saying, Brother Wayne Dale. You talk about those people praising God, worshiping God. There is a cry of every person who serves God. A cry inside of us that says, I want to be in the midst of a shouting, praising service. And when we hear the reports of a revival over here or a revival over there, there's something inside of us that makes us want to be a part of it. Why? Because we know what it is to drink from the fountain of life. We know what it is to feast at the banquet table of the Lord. We know what it is to rejoice. And to be glad. We know what it is to cry out to Him and to have Him to hear us and to come to our rescue. And there's just something inside of us that makes us long for a service like we had Sunday night when people seemingly lost control of everything. And the Spirit of the Lord just moved in with a wooing and with a love and a tenderness as we began to worship and praise God. And we felt that mighty power that Jesus wants us to feel. Hallelujah. Jonah in the belly of a whale had gotten in trouble because he didn't do what God told him to do. In the midst of his impossible situation, having gone as low as a man can go, you can't get much lower than the bottom of a sea in the belly of a whale. With seaweeds wrapped around your neck. In the midst of that desperate moment, he cried to God. He said, from the belly of hell cried I. He cried out to God. And God heard him. That's all Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. He knows we're human. He knows we make mistakes. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He suffered. That's why He was bruised. That's why He allowed the stripes on His back. And that's why He allowed them to pluck His beard. That's why He endured, even though it was heartbreaking, even though it was painful, even though He cried bitterly in the garden. He went to the cross because He knew that we needed Him there. He knew that we had to have somebody to turn to when we lose all the good things in life. When we get away from all the wonderful things that God has for us. When we get so far away that there seems to be no way back to God. Jesus hung there so we could come back to God. Hallelujah. You know, if you would take account of all the people that have called this their church in the years since 1944, if we could gather them all together, even those that still live in this area, in this city, it would take a large auditorium, much bigger than the Civic Center, the Convention Center downtown, to hold a crowd. It would be amazing to see the multitude if somehow we could get everybody together at one time in one place who at one time or another said, I'm a member of the Jesus Only Apostolic Church, and I praise God because He brought me out of sin, set my feet on a solid rock. If we could get them all together, this would only be a small handful compared to what we would have. And you know that better than I do. This city is filled with backsliders. This city is filled with sinner people who are always getting in trouble. And the reason I know so much about it is when they get in trouble, they call this church and they say, Preacher, pray for me. I used to be a part of that church. Crying, desperate hearts. And I'm not here to criticize people who have failed God, but I'm here to lift up the name of the One who understands the tears. And I'm here to say, God, if You will help me, and if You will help us, we want to do more than we've done in the past. We want to somehow, Lord, commune with that cry of Your heart. We want somehow to feel what You felt when You looked over that city that You were a part of and said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. God, help us to feel that toward Monroe and West Monroe. God, help us somehow to get so burdened about our community and about our loved ones and about the people of this area who are a long way from God, that in the wee hours of the morning somewhere, you'll see the tears streaming down our face and say, Oh, God, show me what to do to lead others to You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is moved with compassion when He sees people cry. I'm not talking about the kind of tears that they teach actors and actresses to produce in order to make people cry at the moment in a movie, just when the emotions should cause people to have tears in their eyes. But I'm talking about the kind of tears that comes from agony and from desperation and from not knowing which way to turn or which way to go. Isaiah said, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. He also said, It shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. The reason we are here is because we found a time in our life when we were desperate for God. Every one of us. How many of you have come to that moment in your life when you had to call on God? That was the only thing you could do. Let's praise Him together. Thank You, Jesus. God, we love You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. God, we praise You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Briefly, I want us to look at a character in the Bible whose name was Hezekiah. He was a statesman. He was a religious man, a religious reformer. He was one who fought for God's way and for right. He was an engineer, a very versatile person. In fact, he was referred to by many historians as the most versatile and valuable of all of Judah's kings. So he was a popular man. He was an important man. He was a man of means. He was a man that people looked up to. But there came a time in his life when all of that seemingly faded into non-existence, when in a desperate moment he learned that he was facing death. 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, we read these words. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And Hezekiah wept sore. That doesn't mean he just cried a little bit. It doesn't mean that he was just a little bit overly concerned and a few tears came in his eyes. But Hezekiah wept sore. This is a man that was going to die now. His time was finished. It was his appointed time to die. And he cried with a desperate heart. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I have seen thy tears. I heard a woman say the other day, I can't cry. She said, I've never been able to cry. I've met two people in my lifetime. And if you have a problem like that, I'm not throwing any stones. And it's a serious problem if you can't cry. I've heard people say, I cry too much. But I've met two people who said, I just can't cry, no matter how bad the situation. I feel sorry for people that can't cry. Because if you get serious with God, and you get sincere with God, no matter what the problem is, if those tears start streaming down your face, from something down deep inside that's calling on God for an answer. He knows our tears. He understands the call of a crying heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus was the greatest man that ever lived, the most powerful, the strongest. If there ever was a He-man, Jesus was a He-man. Yet He wept. He cried. He was moved with compassion because the people were scattered as sheep without a shepherd. They were walking in darkness, needing light, and he cried, he wept, Oh, Jerusalem! And he said, I have seen thy tears, because, behold, I will heal thee. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Jesus, tonight, wash our eyes with tears so we can see you more clearly. God, tonight, give us a burden for the lost more than we've ever had. Make us be concerned, oh God, when we seem unconcerned, when we become lazy and become lax, when we seemingly just go about our way, just wait till the next time we can come to church in order to feel the move of the Spirit of God. God, we're asking you, Lord God, to make us daily fall on our face and weep over this city and over these people that surround us. our people on the job, our friends, our loved ones, we're asking you, God, to take this congregation in your hand and make every one of us feel a little part of what you felt when you wept for your city, when you cried for your world, when you bowed your head on that cross. God, help us, Lord, to become desperate so that you will hear us when we pray and that you will answer the prayers and come and do the things that cannot be done. In Jesus' name. I'd like to ask you all to come forward and let's call on Jesus tonight. And my sincere desire is that God would give me a bigger burden. A bigger burden to reach the lost for Jesus. All through the Scripture, people cried to the Lord and He heard them. But all through the Scriptures, we read about how Jesus cried. Jesus cried and it seemed very few would hear Him. Who's going to hear the cry of that lonely heart? Who's going to hear the cry of that desperate hour? Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Who's going to hear the cry of that Savior? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Let me hear it, Lord. Let me feel it, Lord. Move on me toward the multitude, oh God. Help us to reach out with all the sincerity that's in God. Give us, Lord, the burden of Calvary. Give us the